Okay, so this is our last shiur on the topic of, right, the topic of Pikuach Nefesh B'Shabbos. Just to keep things organized, so basically we're up to part three in the Sugya. First part of the Sugya was, right, we were focusing on the nature of the Hetter Pikuach Nefesh. Second part of the Sugya, we were focusing on the scope of the Hetter Pikuach Nefesh, and what situations, you know, how far does the factor of Safik Pikuach Nefesh go? And now in the third and final, you know, section of the Sugya, we're going to be talking about, you know, the implementation of the Hetter, right? The way in which, you know, the Hetter of Pikuach Nefesh can be implemented, by whom, and how. A lot of these, you know, topics will be pretty halachal nisa. Fine, we can go through. You'll see, it's a bunch of smaller topics that we're trying to cover quickly. Fine. So this, most of this comes up in the Braisa on Peidalet on the base. We're going to basically go through like each line, and the Braisa is each one is like a separate topic. So we're at the Braisa on Peidalet on the base, Tanya Nami Hachi. So the line we're going to be discussing first is the line about Nachrim and Kitan. See the line which says by the In Mishpat Beis. It says the Ein Osin Dvarim Halal Lo Al Yedei Nachrim. You see that, Shalom? Last year?
Ein Osin Dvarim Halal Lo Al Yedei Nachrim Lo Al Yedei Kuzim.
They changed it to Kitana. They changed it to Kitana, which means the Grod.
Ela Al Yedei Dvar Yisrael.
Okay, so there are two. Yeah, so what does that literally mean?
That for Bikuach, when we do Bikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, we don't do it via Namju or a Katan, rather we do it with a Gadol.
Okay. So two halves of that sentence, both of them are important. First half is in regards to Nachrim and Kentanim. The second half, in terms of, you know, who it shouldn't be done, Al-Yedei, seemingly. And the second half is that who it should be done, Al-Yedei, which namely Gadol Yisrael. So we'll discuss each one separately. So the first half of the sentence gets to the very, very important halacha l'maisa as well issue about when there's a option of having the pikuach nef, the chil Shabbos performed al yedei the guy or by a katan, is that preferable? So if you just read that gemara and you didn't see any rishonim, you say it seems pashut. The gemara seems to take a very clear stand and say you can't do it al yedei gayim. So we'll see. While that's one approach in the rishonim, there's a whole, you know, opposite approach in the sugya, which says, no, really, chatzchila, you should do it al yedei goyim and ketanim, and the Gemara is saying something very different. So, we're going to see just, you know, the way the various mefarshim read this line, and the Gemara has major, major, you know, repercussions. So the first approach, I would say the normative, you know, the simple approach to that line, is that the Gemara, at the Braisa here, is establishing that it's aser to be mechal Shabbos for the sake of pikuach nefesh, Al Yedei Nachrim Uketan. And again, this is the simple understanding of the line when it says Ein Osin Dvarim Halalu Lo Al Yedei Nachrim Lo Al Yedei Ketanim. Literally, that means don't do it Al Yedei Nachrim or Ketanim.
How do you translate Al Yedei functionally here, like via?
Yeah, I think that was Shalom's sermon like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So within this first approach, that basically that the Braisa is establishing that you shouldn't have the Pikuach Nefesh performed by the Goyim or the Ketanim, there are two different explanations in the Rishonim. The first version of this is to say that, you know, the reason why we shouldn't have the Goyim or the Ketanim do it, right, despite the obvious, you know, value in doing that, is that you prevent the Chol Shabbos, because they're not, both of those categories of people are not Metzuvim in Chol Shabbos. So despite the fact that you seem to be saving the Chol Shabbos, the reason why we don't do it is, right, in general, is because there's some adverse impact, you know, on Chol Shabbos, on the Hetter Pikuach Nefesh, to do it Al Yedei Goyim and Ketanim. So there are two different versions of it, of this adverse impact. The first version is to say that it will have an adverse impact on the current Pikuach Nefesh. And this is Tosfos, who basically says that we don't want to do it Al Yedei Goyim or Ketanim because we are scared that the Ketanim or Nachrim will be lazy and therefore they will not implement, you know, the Pikuach Nefesh in a Zrizus fashion. If you see the Tatosos, to your mask, El Abigdol Yisrael. You want to go for it, Shalom?
Even if it's possible to do it with a non-Jew, Mitzvah of Yisrael, it's Mitzvah of Yisrael, Shema is Asa HaNachri, Lo Yasa, because maybe the Nachri will be lazy and not do what he's supposed to do. V'yobol Yidei Sakana, and then we'll be in the Sakana.
Exactly. So according to Tosas's version of this, right, the chashash is on the current Pikuach Nefesh. Again, we don't think that the guy or the katan will carry out pikuach nefesh effectively. The second version of this is that there's no impact, there's no chashash in regards to the implementation of the current pikuach nefesh. Chashash is rather, you know, forward-facing. It's rather, chashash is looking to the future, and the following Rishonim, the Rush, again in our Perek Simon Yudalad, the Ran on Dalad Amud Beis, Date Rif, Tivir Maskel, the Inn, and the Taz, in Shin Chav, Simon Shin Chav Ches, Sivkatan Hey, again it's the Rush, the Ran, and the Taz, as they all explain that there's no, the chashash doesn't relate to the current pikuach nefesh. No, we're not choshish that they're going to be lazy, that they're not going to carry it out. The problem is that if people see that you're specifically having goyim or ketanim, you know, perform the chol Shabbos, people might get the misconception that the only time you're able to be mechal Shabbos for the sake of pikuach nefesh is only al yedei goyim or ketanim. People come to the, you know, to the misconceived notion and think that there's no heter of pikuach nefesh for Yisraelim gedolah. So therefore, according to the Rush, the Ran and the Taz, again, the chashash is not about the current pikuach nefesh, but it's rather in the future. Even though right now, you know, the goy or the katan will carry it out, you know, in a fine fashion, the problem is that in the future, people won't realize that, you know, if need be, you can do it al yedei Yisraelim gedolah. So therefore, and people will think that you always need to find a guy or a katan, and therefore there'll be situations where there's no guy or katan around, and then in those future situations there will be a problem of sakana. Fine. So those are the two different versions of why you would aser, you know, doing it al yedei nachrim and ketanim. And it's important to note that the Shulchan Aruch in, or again, Or Chaim Simon Shin Chav Ches Siv Yudbeis Shulchan Aruch, you know, it's a famous psak. The Sfaradim is important. Shulchan Aruch paskins along the lines of this first approach that you should never really, that you should never use goyim to be mechal Shabbos, right? Even in the opportunity, even though there's a guy or a katan in front of you, and you have the option of either guy or the katan or a Yisrael who's a gadol, you should opt for the Yisrael gadol because of either of these factors, either chashash for the current pikuach nefesh, or for the future. So just now, after documenting these different mefarshim, just take a step back and just to analyze how this shita, right, of specifically, you know, wanting the chil to be al yedei a Yisrael gadol and not al yedei a goy or a katan, how does this align with the broader question of whether the heter pikuach nefesh is hutra or dechuya? Well, let's just go through the different options within the approach that, you know, the pikuach nefesh, the heter pikuach nefesh is b'toras hutra. So then the shita makes a lot of sense, right? It's very easy to understand because if you think that, you know, the heter pikuach nefesh is b'toras hutra, so therefore even for the Yisrael gadol, there's no iser at all. There's no counter pressure. So therefore, it makes a lot of sense. This shita makes a lot of sense. It's very easy to justify the shita of why we would opt for the Yisrael gadol over the guy or over the guy slash the katan, because basically, you know, you might as well do the. You might, I mean, there's no counter pressure of having the Yisrael gadol do it because it's sutra. You know, basically, the Shabbos turns into chol, and therefore there's no problem whatsoever. So the easiest way to explain the shita, which says lechatchila do it al yedei, you know, Yisrael gadol, is if it is hutra. But, and this is the analysis provided by the Emek Bracha. Had you see at least the beginning of it? I apologize for those who saw the whole thing. And the Emek Bracha in Yom Kippur Os Gimel spells out that this shita even aligns with a duchuyu approach. And again, that works out well. I think does he tie it to the Rambam Lashitasa? Does the fact that the Rambam, he just say that specifically?
He talks about it.
What?
He mentions it at the end.
Okay. So either way, basically the Emek Bracha spells out that this approach of saying that you should lichatchila do it al-yedei Yisrael gadol isn't limited to the hutra approach. I mean, it would even apply to the duchuyu approach. Because the Emek Bracha develops that even the approach of duchuyu doesn't mean that, oh, because it's dechuyah, because the isser is still there, therefore it's basically, you know, as long as it's possible to do al yedei acher, it's like it would be usser for you to do it al yedei Yisrael. He says, no, it's just an inyan lechatchila. Right? Even in the approach of dechuyah, it just means that lechatchila, you should try your best, you know, to avoid the heter, because it's b'toras dechuyah. And therefore, in such a situation, according to this first shita, once there's counter pressure, right? Once there's counter pressure, there's a chashash either for the current pikuach nefesh or for a future pikuach nefesh. But once you have that counter pressure, which says that no, we don't want it to do it al yedei goyim or katanim, so that counter pressure basically says, oh, Gemakom, that counter pressure, we're going to waive the Indian lechatchila and say, even though it's only dechuya for the Yisrael Gadol, it's still better for the Yisrael Gadol. And again, the Emek Bracha proves that even within the dechuya approach, that is just an Indian lechatchila to avoid the Isser from the Gemara's discussion of an apparel situation where you also have this question of hutra dechuya, the context of tuma hutra slash dechuya b'tzibur. So there within the Manda Amar of Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur, again, even when the entire Tzibur is, or Rov of the Tzibur is Tame, that we still are only Doche, the Isser B'Torah's Dechuya. But yet, when the Gemara mentions the Nafkamina between Hutra and Dechuya, in that context, all it says is the Nafkamina is that according to the Shita of Dechuya, it's mahadrinan akohanem tahorim. That lechatchila, if it's only tuma dechuya b'tzibur, you should try to find a kohen who is tahor. But again, the mahadrinan akohanem tahorim is that lashon is the lashon of lechatchila. So Emek Barucho says that even according to the approach of dechuya, it only says lechatchila you should try to avoid any iser, any violation. But therefore, according to this approach, since there's a counter pressure, you're the chashash b'kuach nefesh, either current or future, therefore we're going to waive that in l'chatchila. So in short, basically what comes out is that this first approach, which says that you should, l'chatchila, do it al yidei Yisrael Gadol, because of, some adverse impact of doing it al yidei Goy or Katan, that can align bain if the hetzer b'kuach nefesh is a hutra, bain if it is t'chuya. Any Brian, okay. So again, Arkan is the first approach, which I'll say the simple reading of the Gemara, that the Gemara is basically saying, under no circumstances should you ever do it al yedei gai or al yedei kata. So it's in a fascinating way. The second approach is the opposite, right? Which is like interesting in terms of you're reading the same line in the opposite fashion. The second approach is going to say that really lichatzchila you should do it al yedei nachrim or katana. And the Gemara, we'll see how this reads in, is only saying that don't think that Goyim and Ketanim are the only option. The Chiddush of the Gemara is that no, b'di'evit, if you can't find the Gadol, you can't find the Katan, there's also an option of Gadol Yisrael.
What?
What's the Chiddush?
No.
How do you read that?
What's the... Where is that...
Yeah,
get off the ground.
Exactly. So yeah,
into existence.
Yeah. So the Meiri, so the first.
Is the Emek Bracha actually saying that though?
Saying what part?
If you hold that it's a dechuya and lechatchila should go after trying to find a child or something like that, is that what he said?
So again,
would the Shulchan Aruch say? Based off of the Emek Bracha's.
The Emek Bracha is saying that even those like the Shulchan Aruch and those Mefarshim we quoted earlier who say that lechatchila you should do it like the Yisrael Gadol. That can even align with the approach of Tuchuya.
But he's not saying that you should.
I don't think he's taking.
Lechatchila, you should go do it all yidei ketana. He's not saying.
No. Because he says that the fact that you should lechatchila go after the children is waived in this event because of the chashash that you're going to go after them.
Exactly. He's just trying to explain. Don't think that first shita, which says lechatchila you should do like the Yisrael Gadol, don't think that's only within the hutra approach, right? Which I've heard people say that they're like, oh, this is machlokas to Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. You see, it's a hutra tuchuya nafkamina. That's like a classic, if you don't, whatever. But the Emek Bracha is saying not that way. That even the Manda Amar, which says lechatchila do it like the Yisrael Gadol, that can even align with the tuchuya once you have a proper understanding. Dechuya, says Emek Bracha. Okay, so moving to the second approach, that really lechatchila you should do it al yedei goy or katan, and the Gemara is just saying that oh b'di'eved, if a goy or a katan's not around, don't go crazy. You can still do it al yedei Yisrael Gadol. So that's the second approach. And as Cole points out, how does this align with the Gemara? So let's just see the Rishonim. The Lashonos of the Rishonim who say this. So the first one is the Meiri. The Meiri on Pei Dalet on the base. Dibur Maschil Mechamin. So here, he basically adds an important word. Instead
do
of...
Do we have the Meiri in the back here?
No. So instead of the line that we have of Ein, right, of Ein Osin Dvar Malalo Lo Aydei Nachrem, he says, He adds the word ve'in tzarech. You hear it called?
Ve'in tzarech, yeah.
Yeah. That ve'in, his lashon is ve'in tzarech lasos dvarim elu lo ayidei gayim, lo ayidei gayim. Either gears a change or this is his pshat, it's hard to know sometimes. This is his line.
Well, which is it? So we don't know?
I don't know.
So he adds a not. He negates what we have on the page.
He adds tzarech, that's his interpretation. Ve'in tzarech lasos dvarim elu lo ayidei lo ayidei gayim, ela af bigadol. That's the way he understands it. So basically, according to the Irish pshat, you know, lechatzchila you should do it ayde nachrim and ketanim. The chiddush the gemara is that, but don't think that's the only option, because that's not the only option. You know, there's also an option of gedol. So that's the Meiri says that, and a number of people say this. The Tosfos Arid as well. All right, again on Pei Dalet Amud Beis, Tirur Maaschal Ve'in Omrim. This is on the Mar Makomos. He also similarly says this idea. Where he, I'll just quote the relevant line. He says, "Aval vaday im hayu mizumanim lanu," right? If the guy or the katan was, you know, readily available, mutav shenase al yidei gayim velo al yidei Yisrael. It's preferable to do it al yidei gayim and not al yidei Yisrael, or al yidei katan and velo al yidei gedolim. Basically, it's preferable to do it either al yidei gayim or al yidei a katan.
That's
the Meiri. That's Tosfos Arid. They're both holding the same thing. It's both the Meiri. And the Tosfos Arid. Or the Meiri's Lashon was the Ein Tzarech. The Tosfos Arid was just spelling this out. Goyim and Ketan.
That was the quote.
Oh, sorry. Avadai im hayu mizumanim lanu mutav shenaase al yidei goyim velo al yidei Yisrael.
Mizumanim lanu?
Like, available. Readily available.
Oh, mizumanim
is
available.
Ba'al yidei ketanim velo al yidei gedol. So again, the Meiri and the Tosfos Arid, and you also have the Shilta Giborim. Right? Shilta Giborim is on the side of the Rif. He also has his idea that, and his formulation is important, but basically his Shita is that if Nachim are present, then you should do it Al Yidei L'Gayim. It's preferable to do it Al Yidei Gayim than Al Yidei Yisrael, but he's a fascinating Lashon. He says, Hol V'Efshir Lasos HaDavar Beheter. Once it's possible for the Chul Shabbos to be done beheter, ein lanu lasos beisser. Right, and the option of heter, why do it beisser? So that lashon, which basically means why, if you do it al yedei goyim, excellent, yeah. Good work, right? That if right, that's the way. Right, just to spell it out, right?
Thanks.
Right, if. No, I took the words out of my mouth. Right, that if you could do it beheter, namely, if you could do it al yedei goyim, if you could do it al yedei goyim, which is heter gamer, because they're not mitzvah mishavis, right, do that instead of doing it beisser, meaning, like Kol is pointing out, that he's characterizing, right, his characterization of the heter pikuach nefesh for Yisrael is doing it beisser. Which again, if you were a hutra person, you would never say that. Because there's no concept of doing it to Isser. So obviously the Shulta Giborim, again, is you know, is ascribing to the Shita of Duchuya, which again, works out very nicely, it works out very well with the Shita. This second approach, which says, right, right, you should avoid, you know, doing it Al Yidei Yisrael, right, you should always try to, you know, avoid the Isser, and, you know, and have it done Al Yidei Gai or Katan, again, that very much works out well, very much aligns with the Duchuya approach to things. Again, as we pointed out before, If you accept Hutra, that doesn't, you seemingly, again, you could argue this, but within Hutra it would be harder to justify the Shita. You probably could as well, but again, Shulta Giborim works out well, that he formulates the Heter Pikuach Nefesh as being the Torah's Dechuya, the Shita also that you should try to avoid as much as possible. And it becomes Lamaisa because the Ramah, right, in contrast to Shulchan Aruch, who basically says that L'chatzchila, you should do it al Yidei Yisrael Gadol. The Ramah, both in Darkei Moshe, Shin Chav Ches Gimel, and Tezvav, and in the Ramah, Shin Chav Ches Se'if Yibes, in both these cases, the Ramah comes along and says that our minog is to have the chilul performed al Yidei Anachri when we are confident that there won't be any delay in the matter. But he points out that if the situation is such that there's a chashash that doing it al yedei the nachri will cause a delay, either the nachri is not, you know, not present, or perhaps we don't trust that the nachri is going to implement the pikuach nefesh in a with alacrity, then in such a situation, then we can rely on the other, on the first approach to say that you should do it al yaday Yisrael gadol. So lamaisa, for us Ashkenazim, it comes up that again, if the situation is such that we, the guy or the katan, let's say guy now, I have to check out the lashon of the Rambam if he says katan, but for sure, if the guy is there and we think that the guy could do it in just as good of a fashion, so then we lamaisa, do it al yaday guy. We only do it al yaday Yisrael if we feel that it's necessary.
So what are we about Salah? Because we don't trust. I think our services are better than.
I think that's the beginning of the source of Hatzalah was that idea. Is that their respond time is quicker.
Uh-huh.
You're saying the question is on Shabbos.
Yeah.
I think that's the, uh-huh. They quote all these stats about their response time is, that'll be a walking advertisement, but that's the basis of the Heter.
Yeah.
Some people argue whether Mitzvah is true, but I'm not going there. Yeah.
So for Spartan, if someone collapses in a Sephardi Shul or something like that, so they would rather a Jewish doctor there figure something out?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Also, why would you trust any doctor who wasn't Jewish?
Because he can get sued otherwise.
Okay, so the Adkan is the first topic in terms of Nacharim and Ketanim. Again, two opposite approaches, right? Whether lechatchila you should do al yidei Yisrael Gadol, or lechatchila you should do al yidei Nachri. Again, two interestingly opposite reads of the Gemara. You don't have that so often. They have one line in the Gemara, which can be read in two different ways. Happens to be in this sugya, there can be a number of these lines which have that, which is fascinating. But it's a good segue to the next topic. Nashim and Kutiyim. And again, another ambiguous line in the Braisa, which is interpreted in very different ways by the Mefarshim. So the next line, Sivei Nomer, Shalom, you're a man today. Brian will get to you, don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get to you also.
Okay.
Yeah. The Inomrim.
The Inomrim Yasin Baram had a low Ayade, low Apiyashim, low Apikusim, Abab, it's Tarfin and Basacharis. We don't say that we do these because of what women or what Kusim say, but they can combine.
Oh, okay.
From our Basacharis.
Okay. So it's an ambiguous line. You, in your interpretation, already adopted one of the approaches in Rishonim, which is totally fine.
Anxiety and influence.
But yeah, we're going to see that in this line, again, it's like a very strange, what is Avom? Just the duration of the Sefer, it's like a non-sequitur. They don't seem to connect. Right? You have the Rishonim saying, in Omrim Yasud Varam Alalu Apinashim, Avom Mitzdar from Lutas Acheres. What is that second phrase? What's going on? And to make matters a little more complicated, the different Gersos in the Rishonim, some have argued as Aval Mitzdarfin, others say Mipnei, so which obviously totally changes the sentence. Is that last line Mitzdar from Lutas Acheres a contrast to the first half, or is that a justification, an explanation for the first half? So let's just summarize the different Shittos in the Rishonim. Again, focusing now on the Pirushim, which focus on the implementation of the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh. Again, what Shalom was pointing out, Rashi's Pshat. Rashi, as we dealt with earlier in the, Azlinam Basar Rov Deos, by Rashi, and I think the Riva, in the Rush, interpret this line as nothing to do with how we implement the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh, but rather it has to do with, Rov Deos, when you have a machlokes between, let's say, Nashim and Anashim, or some combination thereof, in terms of whether, the person is in the state of Pikuach Nefesh or not, right? The Sugya on Pei Gimel. So that's what Rashi connects this line to. But we'll see right now that other Rishonim, connected to our current discussion of how we implement, the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh, Al Yidei, Nashim, and Kutiyam. So here too, we're going to find a full range of opinions. The first approach is going to be that all this line is saying is that you can't be Miyached, Nashim, and Kutiyam, which means, let's say, this is adopted by, this is the first day in the run on Dalet Amud Beis B'Daf Ha'arif, Dibur Maschil Ve'in Osim. The run basically says, interesting idea, that we can have Nashim and Kutiyim, perform the Chil Shabbos, right, perform the Pikuach Nefesh, but we just can't specify and say, you know, because you're an Isha, which wouldn't be nice either, but because you're an Isha, or because you're a Kuti, that's why, you know, you should do, that's why you should perform the Pikuach Nefesh. Because the Ram points out, because if you were to do that, then the Nashim and the Kutim would think, get the, you know, the misconception, that the only, that the Heter Pikuach Nefesh is limited specifically to them. So basically, you know, the Kuti would think, oh, actually, say it a little differently. The Kuti would think, according to the Ram, that, you know, that the Yisraelim are just trying to cause him to sin, because the Kutiyim don't believe in Lifnei Iver L'Zichin Michshol, so they think it's completely mutter for Yisrael to tell them to sin. It won't be bad for the Yisrael. So basically, the Kutiyim are going to think that really, it's, you know, it's really, you know, Pikuach Nefesh is really not Doche Shabbos, and they're just, you know, those Yisraelim are just trying to, you know, be Machshol them. And the Nashim will just get, you know, because Daitan Kalos, they're also going to get confused about the Heter. So again, according to the Ran, according to the first day on the Ran, this line is limited to saying, to not being miyached the Nashim and the Kutiyim. Again, don't specify that, oh, because you're a Kuti, do it, or because you're an Isha, you should do it. But otherwise, the Isha and the Kuti can be involved in that to be Kuach Nefesh, as long as it's not specified.
What if you said it's better?
Say?
If you said it's better for you to do it. So it doesn't mean that...
I think that would also be included.
Why? It's better. It doesn't mean it's also for.
I hear what you're asking. I'm not sure. I guess it depends whether the reasoning of the Bible applies. I'm not sure.
I guess that is sort of a mobile question.
Yeah.
Why would it be true that, why wouldn't we say that, like, a Jew of the Chiyuv themselves taught Israel, and therefore whoever is the Chiyuv, then generally, like, halakha would say whoever is the Chiyuv, like, the Chiyuv of Israel, and then he, like, has the greater. Say, like,
Shai
Chasur, he is more of a
Chiv
to be
kind
in that, rather than someone who doesn't necessarily have a
Chiv.
So,
you're
so, like...
You're saying back to the first topic, right. In terms of Yisraelim versus Ketanim and
Goyim. Right.
Yes, and why isn't that a factor involved?
I just thought about when you went off the national.
Yeah. That's a good question. That's a good question. I'm not sure. Interesting thing... I guess one comment I'll make is that is it so simple that if a Yisrael instructs a guy to save the person that he's not involved in Hatzmolos Kala Yisrael? I mean, it's always an interesting question, like, you know, which types of mitzvos are, you know, Maisa oriented and which ones are Totsa oriented?
What's Totsa?
Like result oriented. Oh. And therefore, if like a mitzvah of, let's say, Hatzolah, presumably is result-oriented. So therefore, as like a classic, you know, lumdus, is that if something is result-oriented, it doesn't really matter whether it's done by you or someone else, as long as you're facilitating the result. So perhaps, if you take that approach to Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael, therefore, as long as, let's say, I'm in a situation, the question is whether I'm going to do it myself, or I'm going to instruct a guy to do it. But either way, if I'm instructing a guy to do it, and I'm facilitating the, you know, Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael, so therefore, you could say that I'm also still being kind of
right. But I think at least in how we view it so far, there are almost distinct phases of like someone telling them what to do and then actually, you know, doing the action themselves. And part of the concern that Tosus has brought up, I think, is that maybe like it's gonna the action itself is
but,
going to be. So
Tosus is a technical factor.
Right. No, but I think inherently it is technical. I think the part of it is that. You have to be able to ensure, if it was you're ensuring that mitzvah actually happening, and I think that'd be one thing, but here you're not doing it. All you're saying is that you're giving almost like haras heter that, oh, now we can do it, and the guy is going to do it. You're not facilitating it. That's not cool.
No, you're instructing. Like, okay, no, you go over there, bring him there. Bring him to the hospital. Why? And why? And you have an option. Do you drive him to the hospital, or you have the guy drive him to the hospital?
I just think maybe because you have the chiyuv, like, you have more of a...
Okay, meaning it's a good question. Again, the fact that it's not, I think it's a good, I think the way the question should be formulated is the fact, like why isn't that factor brought up? It doesn't seem like it is. So,
nobody mentions, like,
that's also right. Exactly. So I'm suggesting that perhaps because, if you take a certain perspective on that mitzvah, it's very totsa, it's very, you know, result-oriented, so it could be that's why it doesn't matter from that perspective whether it's, you know, either the Yisrael or whether Yisrael is instructing someone.
But you can say that, maybe you can say the reverse, and then maybe the reason why I'm doing it that way, and not Yisrael and Katanim, not from Katanim and Kusim, it's Dafka, they have more of a share of those Kli Yisrael.
Yeah, but no one says it. Yeah,
I think once you project it from that side, I think maybe you can say it to, in a positive direction. Also.
I know, but no one says it either.
I'm just trying to figure out the reason for that.
No, I know. That's what I was trying to suggest, a reason for why it's not brought up. But it's a point we'll take. It's important to address that issue. Yeah.
You could say that even if it's not a Tosa-oriented mitzvah, so you have to do it mitzvah-oriented. In this case, you wouldn't have a cleave to do it because you only have a cleave to do it when you're the one that's saving you. Here you don't. Someone else is saving you, whether or not that's you. So you don't have a hetter to break Shabbos and therefore a cleave to save his life.
You're saying the counter pressure of Shabbos dictates that the mitzvah that's all his class will never kick in? In essence?
There's someone else saving
him. Yeah, I mean, you're saying the order of operations as follows. Is that, you know, once there's it's actually the acher, so therefore that dictates that there is no heter of Chil Shabbos. Once there's no heter of Chil Shabbos, so then memela, there's no mitzvah which is coming upon you. I think. I think Yehuda is saying, meaning, why is that the order of operations? Why isn't the mitzvah of Hatzalah dictate that, you know, that it's more upon you and therefore you are chol, meaning therefore there should be heter chol Shabbos for you, right? So it's an interesting question. It's always an interesting question. Like, you know, different factors at play. You know, which one, you know, which domino goes down first? But that's not. It's interesting. I'm glad you guys brought it up. Okay, so getting back to the Nashim Ketanim, just the other one.
When we say that Nashim are Dafen Kaz, what does that mean? That they'll think then that it's only mitzvah for the woman to do?
Yeah, the Ron doesn't spell that out, but I think that's what he means.
Could be Ne'emanis also, maybe?
Ne'emanis? I'm not with Ne'emanis. Meaning for other people.
Maybe that they're sensitive.
What?
Maybe like that they're sensitive.
Oh, okay. Could be. I think normally, I think Kalos has the connotation of like knowledge, but.
Did I want to say something?
No, you said that.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, fine. Okay, so just to summarize here, so you're in terms of nashim and kutiyim. Again, the first approach is that they can be involved; they just can't be miyachid them. Fine. The second approach is that they can be the nashim and kutiyim can be involved; they just can't do it alone. That's the Ron's second thing. Again, basically, you know, parallel to what we had. Tosfos in regards to Goyim, basically Ron says that we can't have the Nashim and Kutim do it alone because we are choshesh that they will, you know, make a mistake or be lazy. The Lashon Hashem is Atzlu or Yifshu'u Vo. And therefore the Ron says that's only a problem if they're doing it alone, but if they're, you know, alongside, you know, Yisrael and Gedolim, so then that issue is not a concern.
So if we say that Kalos has to do with knowledge, so is there a focus in like Mitzias, the Riva and Rashi, like that Sod versus?
I don't think they quote. Oh, but I'm knowledge. I don't mean knowledge in terms of Namunas. I mean knowledge in terms of, you know, misapplying the Heter of Pikuach Nefesh and like thinking. And that's like whether they're Riva. I don't think he uses that Lashon because he's saying that they are believed.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying like. I thought the Riva was saying. Alpinashim chachamos bekios v'sevig mufashos. So, right, is he saying the opposite of? Is that the opposite of Kalos, or is that?
Yeah, in a sense.
Okay, so is that?
I guess he's just saying like, why do you have a blanket? It's, I don't know if it's like a machlokas mitzias, but he's saying like, why do you have a blanket? You know, why are you like assuming daitin kalos for all women? That's just not true.
Okay.
Since there's some women, so why would there, you know? So again, I think the Rana would agree. I think we'll get to this later. Like, I think nowadays all these dinim don't apply to nashim because our nashim are, you know, well informed, just as much as men in many cases, in most cases about these dinim. So a lot of these halachos don't apply, which is important. Just to see the gemara. A lot of times you get to see the yisodos. And the separate question is, you know, how does this apply in all the ma'isa? I'll just go a little further, so I'll make sure we get a little more done again. So the first approach, that they can be involved, they just can't be miyachid them. Second one's that they can be involved, they just can't be alone. The third approach seems to be the most normal.
If you hold that you can't be miyachad, then so isn't there still a kula of mitzvah das acheres? So why does it have to be its own category? Why can't it be within the first sheet of the Ran? Like on their own, they can make a decision, but with someone else, they could make a decision. They could even.
You're asking what the difference between the two days and the Ran is?
Yeah, I mean, mitzvah das acheres is a din within the first.
Yeah, well, I mean there. Yeah, I mean, the first day reads Mipnei Mitzdarf and Das Acheres, so Rechoshesh, they're going to get, you know, this misconception. And therefore, you know, in...
and so it could be... Das Acheres just... Oh, okay.
I think. So again, so the third approach is that Nashim, the Gemara, the third approach in the Gemara is that the line in the Braisa here is saying that Nashim and Kutim should never be involved in Pikuach Nefesh again. So there are a number of Rishonim who accept this third approach. Again, that the Gemara is saying Nashim and Kutim should never be involved in Pikuach Nefesh. So the first example of this is the Rambam. Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam, again, we'll read it in just a moment, basically groups Nashim along with, you know, Ketanim and Goyim with the implication, and the Lashon implies that they should never be involved. He says, Kisha Osim Dvarim Ha'ilu, when you're involved with the Heter Pikuach Nefesh, Ein osin osan lo al yidei gayim, lo al yidei ketanim, lo al yidei avadim, lo al yidei nashim. Right? Again, it's grouping them all together, implying that none of these, you know, groups of people should ever be involved. And then important reasoning, which is a mechudosh for the Rambam, kidei shelo tehe shabbos kala be'ineim. What's the problem here? So that these people do not view Shabbos in a kal fashion. Again, the Magen Mishnah points out that this line of Shalot Tehei Shabbos Kala Be'ineihem is the Rambam's interpretation of the line of Mipnei Shemitzdarfin L'das Acheres. And he points out that this really, that line of the Rambam is only going on the last group of Nashim. And basically, it's a new take on Mipnei Shemitzdarfin L'das Acheres. It's basically a way of saying that they're not going to, it's going to be like a zilzul on Shabbos. Right? Because they're not going to appreciate, you know, since they don't fully appreciate, you know, the mitzvah behind the Pikuach Nefesh and fully appreciate the nature of the heter at hand, so they're going to think, oh, look, if you're mekel, you know, it shows that Shabbos is not really so important. So again, that's the Rambam's, you know, unique take on the line of Neshim Estarfin Adas Acheres. But again, in terms of, you know, the broader point, it's important that, you know, the Rambam, by placing Nashim alongside Goyim and Ketanim, implies, in contrast to the first approach, is that he's subscribing to this third approach that they should never be involved.
So why should we say that Rambam's statement about Shabbos in their eyes only applies to Nashim?
That's the Magen Mishnah says that.
Why does he think
that?
Why would he not say that applies to Ketanim?
Maybe he thinks there are other reasons. Maybe the Magen Mishnah thinks that Goyim and Ketanim have some of the other technical factors that we discussed earlier about, you know, there being an adverse impact maybe of the current, you know, implementation of Pikuach Nefesh or future implementation of Pikuach Nefesh. Again, you're right. I mean, the Lashon Rambam doesn't imply the Magen Mishnah, but that's the way. And again, it could be the Magen Mishnah should tell us. I'm just realizing right now. The Magen Mishnah thinks that that's the Rambam's pshat in Mipnei Shemitzdarfin Das Acheres. So therefore, if that's the pshat in Shemitzdarfin Das Acheres, the only place where the Gemara says that was for Nashim and Kutim, not for Ketanim and Goyim.
Doesn't the Pesach Mishnah also deal with that, elaborating that that's only for the Nashim and the Avadim, but for the Goyim and the Ketanim, he says it's not going to apply because the Goyim know. When they grow up, they're going to learn about the Chomer. He said there was a different reason why not.
Okay, very good. I forgot about that. And the other two, the next Rishon, who also accepts this approach, that again, the Gebraisa is categorically rejecting, saying that Nashim and Kutim should never be involved in the Pikuach Nefesh, is the Tosas Arid. Right, Tosas Arid, on the spot here, says that, right, and he explains the reason, it's like a Daitan Kalos idea, that the reason why Kutim and Nashim shouldn't be involved in the Hetzu Pikuach Nefesh is, where his Pshat is Nashim is Sarfan Das Acheres, is that they won't understand, you know, the Heter at stake. They won't realize that the only reason why, the only situation that we're Doche Shabbos for is for situations of Pikuach Nefesh. And they're going to think, okay, whenever someone's sick, you know, we can be the Doche Shabbos, and you know, they'll extend the head to Pikuach Nefesh, even to cases of Cholesh in Bo Sakana. So that's the way that Dosa Rid understands it. Like the Rambam in the sense that they're always, that we never do it, Ali they, you know, Nashem and Kutim, but a slightly different reason.
Why isn't that Shabbos Kalabeinim?
I guess there are different ways to understand Shabbos Kalabeinim. I guess, I thought it was also just a, you know, a general perspective of viewing Shabbos lightly. No, so, again, but you're right, it could also entail this idea of, you know, being Doche Shabbos for, you know, anything. Yeah, you're right. They're not so different. You're 100% correct. And it's important in the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam, again, also puts Nashim alongside Ketanim and Goyim. This is the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chav Ches Yud Beis. Again, also reading in line with this third approach that Nashim and Kutim should never be involved in the Het to be Glof Tavish. Again, but it's important to note that this discussion about Nashim really, Lamaisa, you can ask Poskim to verify this, but I'm sure Yezra will say the same thing. This doesn't apply nowadays. You know, the discussion of Nashim in conjunction with Kutim is describing a Metzias, which doesn't apply anymore. It's describing a Metzias where Nashim were much less learned than the male counterparts, and that presumably does not apply nowadays.
Wait, that sounds like historicism.
Yes, we would like to verify.
It sounds revolutionary and progressive and dangerous and.
Any other words?
And open.
Okay. Okay, so moving on. With that note, you can verify with Ray Willig just to make sure, but I'm pretty sure he would say that.
Yes, essentially, he also said that Hedentos, the regular people, can't do it also.
Oh, we're going to get to that right now. Right now. So at the end of the line where the Gemara, where the Brice is very interesting now. Right, the line in the Brice that we read before, that, you know, Ein Osim Al Yedei Nachrim, and not Al Yedei Ketanim, the Gemara now says, Ela Al Yedei Gedolei Yisrael. So if you think about it, this phrase, Gedolei Yisrael, is a little ambiguous. And before we even go on, the Rambam seems to take a stand on this. Right? The Rambam in Hilcha Shabbos, again, Derek Bey's Halacha Gimel, the way he formulates this is, Ela al yedei gedolei Yisrael v'chachameihem. So, alright, so again, you have the Brisa's terms of gedolei Yisrael, and then the Rambam's lashon of gedolei Yisrael v'chachameihem. So the big machokes here is the Brisa and the Rambam saying, dafka like gedolim, dafka rabbanim, meaning the most learned person should be the one who's Michal Shabbos, or is the Brisa and the Rambam simply just saying, Yisraelim Gedolim, you know, any Yisrael who's a Gadol. So that ends up being a very big machlokas. It's also very lemaisa. So the first shita, which I think is Shloki Pashtos, is the Kesef Mishnah and the Beis Yosef, same person, right? Baal Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Cairo, both in his commentary on the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, and in his commentary on the Tur, the Beis Yosef. Basically, in both cases, he interprets the Rambam and the Gemara as just referring to Yisraelim Gedolim. Right, and therefore the Rav Yosef Cairo has to work hard to understand the Rambam, because the Rambam says Chachameihem. Like, what are you going to do with that? The Gemara's terminology Gedolei Yisrael. Okay, you can say it just means Yisraelim Gedolim, but Chachameihem, where is that going? Like, what is that referring to? So the Kesef Mishnah, he works very hard and says, oh, the Rambam has three words. Each one coming to be my another category. So he says the first word of Gedolei is coming to exclude Ketanim. Second word of Yisrael is coming to exclude Nachrim, and Chachameihem is coming to exclude Nashim. So that's the way the Rav Yosef Cairo understands it, because he says, like, where in the Brisa would you come up with this idea of Dafka, you know, Chachamim? He says, you know, just look at you know the case, look at the, you know, the categories of people who are excluded. We had Ketanim, we had Nachrim, we had Nashim, but Nashim, where do you find Dafka, you know, Gedolei Yisrael. So he says, oh, the Rambam must be Lav Dafka. He must just be repeating, you know, this idea that he must be just be saying this idea of Yisraelim Gedolim. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch, right, Lishitaso, when he formulates the Heter, the way he formulates is as follows. Ela al yidei Yisraelim Gedolim u'bnei das. So again, Lamaisa, Shulchan Aruch says, seemingly saying that, oh, any Yisrael who's a Gadol, basically has the same status in regards to this din of Pikuach Nefesh. So that's the first approach. The second approach, which I think is more push-up shot, is you know, adopted by a number of Mefarshim. Right? The following Mefarshim all understand the Rambam, I would think Pashtus, And this is like a famous shita of the Rambam that, like, when you have a situation, like if something happens in shul, the rabbi should be the one who has a problem. We'll explain why this is. But like this is the Pashat Pshat on the Rambam is understood by the following Mefarshim. Yeah, I didn't quote all of these because some of these Mefarshim just say it in passing. But number one is the tshuva, the shut of the Tashbetz is in Chelek Aleph, tshuva Nun Dalet.
Who dat?
He's a Rishon. Then there's Maaser Rokeach on the Rambam, who I think I did put on the Marmakomos. It's on the sheet. Maaser Rokeach is on the Rambam itself. You look at Bar Ilan, they have him. And also the Klichemda. Klichemda is a sefer on Chumash, but it's not a classic, you know, Parshanut. It's really in halachic discussions related to the Psukim. So Klichemda in Parshas Kitetze, page 187 in the classic, you know, the classic editions. So again, the Tashbetz, the Maaser Rokeach, and the Klichemda all in the same Rambam. Kepashas says in Alichatchila, the Chil Shabbos should be performed by a Talmid Chacham. Right, the most learned person available should be the one who performs the Chil Shabbos. And the question is, why? You know, why do we specifically want the biggest Talmid Chacham, the rabbi in the room, to be the one performing the Heter Bikuach Nefesh? So I'd like to suggest two different pshatim. One is focused on the impact that this has on others. Right, when everyone sees, witnesses, you know, the rabbi, the biggest Talmid Chacham in the room, you know, performing the Heter Bikuach Nefesh, they all will realize that, okay, you know, be Mechal Shabbos for the sake of Bikuach Nefesh, that's a mitzvah gedol. So again, the first understanding, and these are not mutually exclusive, but the first understanding is that the reason why we want the biggest Talmid Chacham, the most learned person in the room, to perform the Bikuach Nefesh is to have the impact on other people, so everyone, so the bystanders realize, you know, that this is a mitzvah gedola, and that, you know, b'makom pikuach nefesh, it's a mitzvah to be mechal Shabbos. The second approach, perhaps less focused on impact on others, but rather the impact on the mechal himself. And it's to say that there's a concept, which we'll see actually in the tshuva sugyos, that when someone does an avera, it has an impact on them. And the Gemara has a famous line that if you, you know, repeatedly do an avera, it's nasa lo keheter. It turns into a heter for the person.
Keep it in mind.
In which direction?
So if I eat like a lot of bacon.
So you shouldn't. Keep in mind. Anyway, not to do. Yeah. So, So it's possible to suggest that if someone, or in terms of the impact on the mechal, if a person doesn't fully understand that this is a mitzvah, and some, right, and we say, oh, the rabbi would say, okay, just, you know, be mechal Shabbos, you know, in the situation. If the person who's being mechal doesn't fully understand, you know what's going, doesn't fully appreciate the heter at hand, and he thinks in his mind that he's like be mechal Shabbos, so that will have an adverse impact on that person moving forward. So we specifically have, you know, the biggest Talmid Chacham in the room do it because he's a person who will fully appreciate it and understand that this is a mitzvah, and therefore moving forward, it won't, you know, be a problem in terms of his like Shmir Shabbos moving forward. And I think this latter approach, that's all about, you know, the mechalo, I think works out very nicely, specifically in light of the contrast. One second, in light of the contrast that the Rambam draws in terms of Shabbos Kalabeinei, right? Before the Rambam said, oh, we don't want to have, let's say, Nashim do it because right, Shalot Tehei Shabbos Kalabeinei. Again, there the focus of the Rambam is on the Mechalo, or in that case, the Mechalelas. That we don't want, let's say, an Isha who doesn't have full understanding of the situation to be the one performing the Pikuach Nefesh, because then Shabbos will become Kala Be'ineha. So I think perhaps, according to the second approach, this becomes the flip. We specifically want the Gedolei Yisrael to do it, because for them performing the Pikuach Nefesh, they will not have this factor of having, you know, Shabbos become Kala. So again, in short, two different approaches.
Is that
again,
the same thing as the second one?
Yeah. There's like a raya to the second one.
Oh.
And it works out well as a contrast, right? In contrast, that we don't want Nashim, we want Gedolei Yisrael, because in contradistinction, right, to the Nashim who have the problem of Kala Beinayim, Gedolei Yisrael don't have this issue of Kala Beinayim, where it works out very nicely with the second approach that's all about, you know, the perspective of the Mechalel moving forward. Again, they could both be true. It could both be better for the bystanders and for the mechal. These two ideas are not mutually exclusive. Yeah, Cole, do you want to say something?
I was going to say, the first approach works like pretty well with the heter approach. The first view of the Rambam works like pretty well with the heter approach, and the second one works like pretty well with the dechliya approach. Because the first approach doesn't. Actually, you know, the first approach is kind of agnostic, but the second approach works pretty well with the Tichlio approach, because the danger, or at least the riot that you gave to the second approach, works pretty well with the Tichlio approach, because the danger of him being Mechala, the mitzvah, over and over and over again, assumes that there's a mitzvah to be Mechala.
Okay.
Right,
well taken, but if we're talking about someone who doesn't understand what's going on, so you can say, even if objectively, no, it really is Hucha, as long as the person subjectively thinks that he's violating the Avera of Shabbos, you're still going to have that adverse impact moving forward.
Right, so...
So in his mind, you know, you're saying...
Right, so in the second approach, the whole date with the riot that you gave was based on the... the riot that you deduced was given
based on the perception.
Based on the perception of the person of the non-Gadol who.
Exactly. Yeah. But that doesn't really shed light necessarily on what objectively what the truth is, because it could be that right.
In this case the it could be that the.
So when you say aligned with the Tuchuyah approach, that sounds like with the Shitos who hold the Tuchuyah. Well, I'm saying even the Shitos who hold that really Lamaisa. If Hutra can still hold to this pshat, because the chashash is that someone who is not learned will not know that it's Hutra, and they will perceive that it's dechuya / problematic.
Isn't the whole issue that the... Wait a minute, hold on. Why would the issue even arise? If he knows it's an avera, then...
No, he thinks that some people have like a crude understanding of halacha. It's like, hey, there's an avera, but there's like, okay, some people do averas when they need to. So someone who's really unlearned would be like, it isn't Avera, it's Shabbos, but like, the guy's going to die.
Okay.
Right? I'm saying you can conceive such a
thought
process,
right?
Yeah. Okay, so right, in addition to the Rambam, who Bepashtus accepts the second approach, that's really Dafka Chachmei Yisrael, right?
Really?
Because Rav in the room, you also have the Tosas Rid. And the Tosas Rid on the Sugya also learns that it specifically should be done by Chachamim and not Hedyotos, because, and he takes more of a technical approach to things, because again, if you have it done only the hedyotos, then the chashash, that the hedyot not understanding, not understanding the heter, will think that, oh, look, we're mechal Shabbos for any chola, not realizing that it was datka in a chola sheish bo sakana, and the chashash is that, he might extend the heter pikuach nefesh, even to a chola sheim bo sakana. So again, this is Rid, again, saying, also accepting this idea that it's datka chachme Yisrael, but taking more of a technical approach to things, that he'll just misapply. They had to be koach nefesh. Fine. Okay. So two last quick topics before we close is as follows. So the second to last topic we're going to do is the second line in the Braisa about waiting. If anybody has it open, right after the first line in the Braisa, it says ve'in omrim namtin lo. Anyone? Aaron, do you have a line? See, it's four lines down from the wide lines.
So, ve'ino rim namitin lo shema yavri, elo mecham elo miyad. Yipnei shesavik nefosh yotov hez esarves, velo savik shabazu, elo afilu savik shabaz acheres.
Okay, so what's the first line here? Literally translated as?
We don't say, let's wait and see if he gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, we just, we heat up the water for immediately because it's savik nefashos, and that's docha Shabbos. It's not only if it's Shabbos and less Shabbos, but even...
Okay. So you have this line here, which basically says, don't wait, rather, violate Shabbos because of the suffix at hand. So, what case, it's not really clear, what's the case? What's the case at hand? So you find in the Mefarshim, two different approaches, two different understandings of this line, or what the price is being mechadish in this case. So the first interpretation is the Ran. And the Ran, Dalet Amud Beis, Daf Yarif, Dibur Maschil Ve'in Omrim, where he says the case is as follows. The case is where the doctors at hand basically suggest and say this, Chola She'ish Bo Sakana, requires two different, refuos. And I think his case is both heat up water for him to drink, so he can drink some hot water, and also heat up more hot water to give him a hot bath. So the Ran says, what the Braisa is saying is that when you have a situation where you have a Cholesh Yesh B'Sakana and the doctors say, do perform these two refuos, so don't say, let's perform one of them, see if that works, And if that first refuah doesn't work on its own, then we'll do the second refuah. Rather, the Braisa, according to the Rana, is saying, if the doctors say that he can use two refuahs, do both of those refuahs right away, and don't wait on one of the refuahs. So that's the way the Rana interprets that line of advice, which is an important idea. Again, if the doctor says he needs two refuahs, don't do one by one to try to minimize, you know, the chilul. That's what he says, or go for both right away. Again, a second, you know, interpretation of this line. Again, these two are not.
Where is this run?
The run is Dalet Amud Beis. Dibamaskel Ve'ein Omer. What?
It's the same on the recorder. Okay.
I think right before. Right before. It's like a small. The second interpretation of this line, again, these two Pshatim are not mutually exclusive, is offered by the Rashash. In that long, long Rashash, he has like one line where he quotes this line in the Gemara and he explains it as follows. Where he says, let's say you have a case where there's a suffix pikuach nefesh now, where right, we think the person might be in a state of pikuach nefesh, but there's an option of waiting a certain amount of time to determine, and if we were to wait that certain amount of time, that will be, we will be able to be mevarer whether the person is in a state of sakana. So again, right now he's in a state of suffix pikuach nefesh, but there's an option of, say, waiting 2 hours, and if you wait 2 hours, we will be able to determine whether he is not in pikuach nefesh or whether he's vada pikuach nefesh. So one would have the havmina of efshel levar, tzarach levar. You know, why be machalal now if you can just wait? And again, in a case where the waiting wouldn't have an adverse impact on his health. So you would think, why, might as well wait. Why perform a chilul misafik if there's a way to be mevar in the future? So Rashash says, which is a big chiddush, that even in such a situation where you could wait and there's no adverse, adverse impact of waiting on the state of the chola. He says that the chiddush of this line is that you can perform the chilul right away. That's the Gemara. That's what the Braisa means. There's a heter of safek pikuach nefesh, and therefore, right now the chola is in a state of safek pikuach nefesh. There's a heter, and therefore there's no need to wait it out, even though there's a possibility of waiting it out, and you'll be able to determine whether the person is in a state of pikuach nefesh at all. So again, these two pshatim, not mutually exclusive, they can both be true. But right, the Ran saying that the line of the Gemara is the price is b'machadesh, that if do both refuels right away, don't do one by one. And according to Rashash, is that even when there's a state of suffix pikuach nefesh and there's a way to be mevarer by waiting it out, you can be mechal Shabbos right away. Fine. So the last small topic we'll discuss is the inyan of zrizos, right? The next price, which goes on discussing, repeating this, this line of the Hazaras Hareze Mishubach. Again, right, that, when it comes to the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh, you should do it with alacrity. You shouldn't waste any time. You should, do it as quickly as possible. So in context of this Inyan of Zrizus, there's a fascinating Yerushalmi. So everyone can just turn to the Ran. The Ran quotes us Yerushalmi. One of those things. Okay, so if you turn to the Ran, Hey Amin Aleph B'dapi Arif. In the old version, it's Zir Maskel Yerushalmi, so for me it's like the last wide line. Bold. Okay, Yudalit, page, Amid Yudalit in the new ones. Anyone see the line Yerushalmi? Good to see you here. Yeah. You mind reading for us?
Yerushalmi Tani Hazaris Reza Meshubach, Nisha Maguna, Shah Reza Shobech.
Okay. So, what are these three statements? Two out of three make a lot of sense. So, one of them seems very surprising.
Quickly,
it's praiseworthy. So, that makes sense, right? Jesus, right. Don't waste any time. Skip to the last one. Shoel.
Someone who asks is like stone blood.
And that also is, again, obviously a little harsh, but understandable, because if you're asking Shilas, instead of just doing it, you're wasting time. But the middle one seems very strange.
The one who is asked.
Is Maguna, right? You're looked, if you're a Rav and you're asked this question, you're looked down upon. So obviously, that's a very strange line, because, if every rabbi was faulted for every question that he's asked, why are you faulting the rabbi for the question that is, that one of his balabatim ask him? So, certainly unlearned, balabayas, in his shul doesn't know the halachos, and therefore the rav is at fault. So what's going on here? So there's like a very famous Shumas Adeshen, who's quoted by the Beis Yosef. And again, this Beis Yosef, Shin Chavches, Sivkatan Beis. So he quotes the Shumas Hadashim, who basically points out the reason why the Rav is chastised when he's asked the Shaila is because the Rav should have educated his community. It's incumbent upon the Rav to teach these halachos of Pikuach Nefesh to his entire community, and therefore the fact, to the extent that everyone knows the dinim, that it's mutter to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore, if a Rav is being asked whether to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, that means he has not, you know, carried out his duty, his responsibility to, you know, educate his community. I've actually heard this from, you know, Rabbanim, who have said that, you know, when they're choosing, like, when they just received their, you know, a pulpit, just received the shul, the first topic of Shiram that they gave, you know, the first topic that they gave Shiram on was the topic of Pikuach Nefesh because of this Yerushalmi. Because the Yerushalmi really highlights that you don't find this by other realms of halacha, where the Yerushalmi is going out of its way to say that it's incumbent upon the Rav to educate his community in this realm, and therefore it says it's a meguna for a Rav who is asked a shayla. So again, you know, for all those future Rabbanim, you know, important idea of, you know, educating your communities, your respective communities, in regards to the halachos of Pikuach Nefesh. It's good that we were able to do this again. So stop here. We'll take any questions.
Okay.
Yeah?
No.
Okay. Good? Okay.
Just,
yeah?